This morning we looked at answering a question that Jesus had put to the people about what shall you give in exchange for your soul? Well, tonight in our Psalm 10, another question is answered. Now, we certainly know by reading newspapers and watching TV and radio and just talking with people that the world is filled with wicked people and evil people, and they do wicked, evil things. And the question often arises, well, why aren't they punished? Why aren't they punished immediately? And it's a valid question. And it's an important question. Well, in tonight's psalm, the psalmist, and it seems to be a psalm of David, David answers that particular question. He begins in the first few verses by basically asking God that question about evil people and wicked people. And then in the middle of the psalm, David describes the people he's talking about, how they act and what they do. And then he ends the psalm, the last five or six, seven verses, by giving four reasons or answers to the question. And I think by the end of the lesson, we'll certainly see the answer to that particular question. Psalm 10. And this morning, of course, I think at the end, I had mentioned something about reading Psalm 10 and maybe Psalm 9 with it. I won't ask if you read it this afternoon. I won't want to embarrass you, okay? But it's a great psalm to answer this particular question. And again, it divides itself into three parts. The first two verses is where the problem is given. The question is given. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. So here's the opening question. And in some ways it's a continuation of Psalm 9. Psalm 9 is attributed to David, and you'll notice that there's no heading given for 10. So it's kind of a continuation where Psalm 9 ends with Selah, which is a kind of a pause. It's a place where you pause. Well, usually at the end of a psalm, you don't pause. That's why it seems to be just kind of one thought in these two psalms. So that's how David begins this part. God, where are you? Why are you standing away? He thinks, or he pictures God as just kind of being someone that's standing way off, just watching, but not doing anything. He sees the wicked, he sees the evil, and he's just kind of hiding his eyes from it. See, that's the question that David is putting forth. You're hiding, you're standing afar off. David says, look at the wicked. The wicked are going about in pride. They're proudly persecuting the poor. He mentions other things in a moment. David wants the wicked to be what? Punished. See, David says, let the wicked be punished in their own devices, in their own schemes, in their own wickedness. See, that's what David says. So he's asking God, God, why don't you punish the wicked immediately when they do something wicked? And that's a question that's been asked since basically the beginning of time. In another psalm, notice how Psalm 13 starts. Psalm 13, verse 1. It's also considered to be a psalm of David. He says there, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Notice how similar that is. How long will you hide? See, he starts out by saying that. He says, these are difficult times. There are evil people out there. There are wicked people out there, and they are hurting people. So he wants their wickedness to come back on them, to kind of backfire. We go back a few chapters to Psalm 7. Notice 15 and 16 of Psalm 7, and notice how similar that is to what he's saying in our psalm. Psalm 7, verse 15. He made a pit, talking about the wicked back in verse 14, made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. See, that's what David is saying in the latter part of verse 2. Let the wicked, let the evil get what they deserve. And David says, let them get it now. See, David wants them to get that recompense now. And that's kind of the main thrust of his question. That's what he wants. Why don't you do that, God? Why don't you punish these people immediately? That's what David wants. And so, now, he gives details about these people. He elaborates on this particular problem. And he says, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. That describes the evening news right there, doesn't it? That describes the evening news. The wicked boast of their wickedness. They're not ashamed of it. They actually boast of it. They're proud of how evil they are. They're proud of their plans. They're proud of their actions. They're proud of everything they do that's wicked. Turn with me over to another psalm, Psalm 94. Notice verse 4. Psalm 94, verse 4. Very similar thought here in verse 4. Psalm 94, verse 4 says, still talking about the wicked, they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. David says, why do you let them boast? Why don't you cut them off right when they boast? Don't let them continue to do wicked things or make wicked plans. David says they need to have something done now. He says they're greedy. They covet. Do something, God. That's what he says. Do something about it because these people renounce the Lord. And even God, that not only do they not seek God, God is in none of their thoughts. So they're basically saying there isn't even a God. Why should I worry about what I do since there's no God? And isn't that a characteristic of our society and culture? People go about doing whatever they want because they don't believe there is any God. So if there's not a God, there's no day of judgment, there's no day of reckoning, there's nothing to worry about, there's no other life. So we might as well do as much wickedness and evil as we want in this life. That's what these people are saying, and that's exactly what people say today. So many people have become atheists. They simply don't believe in God. And it's convenient for them because that eliminates for them the idea that there is any sort of moral code or moral law or there's anybody that they have to answer to for what they've done. So no wonder God's not in their thoughts because they don't even believe there is a God. And again, we see that throughout our society and culture and very similarly, of course, in Europe. Europe has become a very atheistic society, especially Britain. A very atheistic society. It's phenomenal how many people, when they take polls in Britain, don't believe in God anymore. So, it is something that's descriptive of a lot of nations and cultures anymore. They don't have God in their thoughts. So David asks, why do you let them live? Why don't you punish them now? That's what David wants to know. Look at all the evil they're doing. Well, if we turn over Psalm 14, verse 1. This is a very similar verse and a very familiar verse. Psalm 14, verse 1. Another psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none who does good. There is no God. and God calls them fools. Well, David continues describing these type of people, these wicked people, and the type of things they do. He goes on, verse 5, talking about the wicked. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he sneers at them. David seemed like the wicked people and the evil people are constantly prospering. Well, look at some of the people in our society that have a lot of money. They sell alcohol, they sell drugs, they do this, they do all kinds of illegal things. No wonder they have a lot of money. A lot of times the wicked and evil do have a lot of money. So David sees them back at that time prospering. Well, they prosper today. So David again wants to know, why doesn't God judge them immediately? He says, look at what they're doing. Their enemies, they sneer at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. See their boasting and their claim? Nothing's going to happen to us. There's no harm going to come to us. So we're going to continue to do anything we want. We see that in our society. We see that in the homosexual part of our society. They sneer at everybody else. No one can do anything to them. They're beyond touch by anyone. So they feel that they can absolutely do anything they want. Well, there were people back in David's time that felt the same way. They sneered at their enemies. They said, we're going to continue to do wickedness and evil, and no one's going to touch us. See, that was their thinking. Times haven't changed. People are the same. They participate in the same type of sin and evil and wickedness as they always have. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches. He lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. What are they doing? What are they saying? Well, I got away with it today. I got away with it yesterday. Therefore, I'm going to continue to get away with it. See, that's what they're thinking. So they're going to continue to lie in wait. They're going to continue to plan to do wickedness. They're going to continue to deceive. They're going to continue to take advantage of people. Since they're not immediately punished, then they continue to do evil and harm others. So no wonder David has this question, God, why do you let them go unpunished? They deserve to be punished, and that's true. It's not that they don't deserve to be punished, but David is asking the question, why isn't it done now? Why does it seem like the wicked and the evil can continue to get away with their wickedness and their evil? That's what David wants. That's the question he wants answered. And so God answers it in four ways now in the remainder of the psalm. Notice what he says. He says, arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. So there's David's call. Okay, God, rise up. Don't be in the background. Don't hide your eyes. Don't be afar off. Now, that's David's way of thinking about it. God isn't hiding his eyes. He's not afar off. But David is just calling on God. Arise, God, because I know you are the answer to my question. David knew he couldn't go anywhere else and get the right answer, so he calls on God to give him the right answer. He says, don't forget us. So look at the truths that we see here. Verse 13, and 14. Why do the wicked renounce God? He said in his heart, you will not require an account, but you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Number one, David says, God has seen this evil. So it's not that God is hiding his eyes. It's not that God is afar off. The first part of the answer is God does see all the evil and wickedness going on. So when we look at our world and we hear the news and read in the newspaper about all the evils going on, God's aware of every single part of it. That's what David says. He's aware of all of it. And the things that we never hear about, God's aware of it. Because he's an all-seeing, all-knowing God, so nothing gets by him. So that's the first part of the answer is, God does know all of these things, and he sees all of them. And I'm like David so often. I want God to immediately take action. Have you ever wanted that? Something horrible happens and some wickedness is committed and you want God to do something about it right then. That's what David wants. So first of all, the first part of the answer is God is aware of all of this. He does see this. Other psalms talk about this. Turn to Psalm 33, for instance. One example. Psalm 33, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 33, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist writes, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. It goes on and talks about how he considers everything they've done. Nothing gets by God. That's the first part of the answer. That's the first answer. God does see. He's aware of it all. He's not afar off. So that should bring us comfort. The second thing he talks about, God has dealt with sin in the past. God has dealt with sin in the past. He says, you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. He has repaid people's sins in the past, even in this life. And think about all the occasions in the past. You read the Old Testament, and think about all the occasions in the past when God did repay evil in this life. We mentioned a few of them this morning. People like Achan, stealing stuff. What happened to him? Lost his life. New Testament, we read about people like Ananias and Sapphira lying about what they had given. What happened? God took their lives immediately. So David says the second part of the answer is sometimes God does punish the wicked in this life. Now, it's done in lots of different ways, of course. We have a government. Romans chapter 13 tells us that is an important part of God's vengeance on the wicked. God has told government that they're not to bear the sword in vain. They are to use it. So part of government's responsibility is to punish the wicked. So that's one way in which God does repay the wicked in this life. So the second part of the answer, or the second answer to David's question is sometimes God does punish the wicked immediately. And that has happened since the beginning of time and will continue to happen. So God does repay. Sometimes he repays whole nations. That to me is kind of the scary part. He repays whole nations and has for millennia. And think about the nations that he has brought down during time that he prophesied he would take down because they were evil. Places like Assyria and Babylon, and you could keep going. That he said he would bring down, destroy, because of their wickedness. So he did that, and he has done that. And so David's second point is here, God does sometimes repay nations, people, individuals in this life. Now, the third answer to the question. Look at verses 15 and 16. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. And notice whose land it is. Remember, God is king forever and ever. He will, he's promised, eventually punish the wicked. And he doesn't say when he's going to do it. Sometimes it's in this life. But he's without a doubt going to punish the wicked in the next life. The Bible's extremely clear about that. You know, Revelation 21 verse 8 mentions some of those who he will destroy, take vengeance on. And he lists the type of wicked people there in that verse. So he is going to do that. He is the king forever and ever. He's not going away. He's the one that's going to be sitting on that great white throne, sentencing the wicked to punishment. So he will be doing that. There's no doubt about it. Whether it's done in this life or not, it will definitely, without a doubt, be done on the day of judgment. That's the third part of his answer. And now the last part of the answer. The last two verses. Lord, you've heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. What does he say he's going to do? He's going to prepare the heart, cause the ear to hear. He's going to do justice. He has heard. He's going to strengthen those who trust in him. The humble, those whose heart is right. Those are the people he's going to strengthen. Those are the people who he's going to help. So if he doesn't deliver the righteous from the evil, from the wicked people now, he tells us and them and all of those throughout eternity that he will be with them to the very end. What do we have to do? Trust him. That's what he says the answer is. Trust him because he knows better than we do. Why isn't this evil person punished immediately? You and I don't know, but God does, so trust him. Why aren't these evil dictators and evil men, why doesn't God get rid of them immediately? Well, you and I don't know, but trust God. He will, in one way or another, repay evil. He's promised he will do that. He will repay those who are wicked. He will take vengeance on them. But as he says in Hebrews, vengeance is his. He will repay. We just have to trust him. That's what he says, and that's the fourth part of the answer. Trust God to do what he says he's going to do. Trust God that there will be a day of judgment. Trust God that he will send the evil and wicked into everlasting punishment, just like he said he would. And he's made that promise over and over again. Old Testament, New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, he has made that promise that the wicked and the evil will not go unpunished. So there's where faith comes in. There's where our trust comes in. He will take care of it. You and I don't know why. But we do know that God said he would take care of it. There is a day of judgment. The world may not believe it. The world may not believe that God's in control. The world may not believe in heaven or hell. But that doesn't make any difference, because God is still in control. He has appointed a day of judgment in which he will judge the world in righteousness, right? Acts chapter 17. He has appointed a judge, Jesus. And nobody, the wicked or anyone else, can do anything about that. There is a day of judgment. And all of us will be judged. And our judgment will be based upon the decisions we've made in our lives. Decision number one, to become a New Testament Christian. Decision number two is to remain faithful until death. Those are decisions we have to make if we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Tonight, if you have a desire to become a Christian, be born again, if you have a desire to ask for prayers of the congregation, you need strength, we encourage you to do that. So come as we stand and sing this song.